ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमिश्रवस्तमूर्तये नमो नमः ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः सो टुडे वी आर सीइंग इन द सेकंड मुंडका फर्स्ट सेक्शन सिक्स्थ मंत्र एंड रिमेंबर द होल ऑफ द सेक्शन इज डिस्कसिंग क्रिएशन Srishtihi. The discussion on creation is actually a prakriya, Srishti prakriya, the methodology. It's also known as Karanakarya prakriya. I was called Adhyaropa Apavada prakriya. Please remember these three names, Srishti prakriya, Karanakarya prakriya, Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. I told you many times the meaning of the word Prakriya. Prakriya is a method, the mode. So the method of the unfoldment of the nature of reality. Or the method of arriving at the reality. Is here prakriya. And prakriya at present used is karanakarya prakriya or srishti prakriya. Otherwise is called adhyaropa apavada prakriya. It is not separately given here, mentioned here. It is inbuilt in the very teaching. And the whole section in the second mundakam, in dvitiya mundake, prathama khande, in the first section, the whole thing is discussing the creation only. And I told you already, the purpose of discussing the creation is a methodology to arrive at actually the reality. It is not at all for establishing the creation. Therefore, this method of this creation, the way it is presented should not be taken very seriously. Oh, this is how everything has come into existence from Brahma. No. What it means is, all that is discussed briefly in all the mantras, that everything, he said, everything has come into existence from Brahma means, we should not seriously take it, it has really just as a child is born out of mother's womb, our pot is made of clay, so everything has come into existence from Brahma. No. What it means is, nothing in this universe has existence of its own. For the universe to come into existence means for the universe to become the known. For the universe to become the known, thereby to enjoy the status of being the known, thereby to enjoy the status of being existent, the universe is dependent on the reality Brahma. Which means the universe independent of Brahman has no existence at all. This is the fact revealed. So now, the Srishti is elaborately discussed. We are still in the process of analyzing the creation or discussing the creation. What all have come from Brahma? Now you can relax. Simply be seeing what all has come from Brahma. It is not elaborately, really in detail telling everything which has come, this has come, this has come. No. But generally it's presenting in every mantra. what all have come into existence from Brahma is discussed. This Upanishad has its own way of presenting how everything in this universe has come into existence from Brahma. Okay, so we have seen already last class, even all the beings originate from Brahma. And there also Panchagni Vidya also is discussed, presented very briefly in a nutshell in a verse, how even the beings, even after leaving the physical body, after exhaustion of Parabdha Karma, the jivas do inexplicably subtlest, imperceptible, subtlest form, how they remain, and they are there in the heaven, the heaven, the sky, and how they through rain waters they come. There are five, we saw the centers, five centers, and through which they finally come to the earth, and in the form of food, they enter into the male person's sperm and finally enter into the woman and becomes, assuming a form, is born in this world as a human being or any other living being. So all these beings also originate from Brahma. So now suppose we try to understand how the birth happens, birth of the baby happens. We discuss, it's all science, biology, we study, understand biochemistry, biology, biosciences, biotechnology, or in physics, chemistry, mathematics, whatever we study, we understand every discipline of science, every order of science, but still everything is from Brahma. Okay, now we move on to the next mantra, which we started last class. Asmadrucha samaya jogumshi dikshaha. Sixth mantra I'm reading. Tasmadrucha sama. Just enjoy reading how Upanishad presents Srishti. That's all. Now you can relax. What is it? One mantra, Taraka mantra for us, Vedanta students. All that is there is only the Lord. We never say God is one, gods are many. What is there is only the Lord. It is said, what is there is only the Lord. There is no second thing other than the Lord. This is the concept of Ishvara with reference to Veda Shastra. And if we say all that is, there is only the Lord, and that Lord is nothing but the truth, and the truth is of the nature of knowing, knowledge. For all that is, there is only knowledge. Knowledge recognizable, interactable, manifest is this whole cosmos. The very subtle fact, abstract fact. This needs to be understood thoroughly. Then if you understand this fact, you have Vishwarupa Darshanam of Bhagavan. Your Vishnu of Bhagavan being the whole cosmos. Let's see the mantra now. Tasmadrucha samaya jogam shidikshaha. Tasmadrucha samaya jogam shidikshaha. Yajnascha sarve katavo dakshinascha. Yajnascha sarve katavo dakshinascha. Samvatsarascha yajamanascha lokaha. Samvatsarascha yajamanascha lokaha. Somo yatra pavate yatra suryaha. Somo yatra pavate yatra suryaha. So here Upanishad, this mantra says that all the Vedas have come into existence from Brahma, originated from Brahma. Tasmat. The Tasmat is a Panchami Vibhakti Rupam, fifth case form of the third person pronoun Tad, which is nominative Saha. You can say Tad Brahma also. From that root, from that limitless reality, implementum Brahma, the Brahman alone, he says Richaha. You have to understand, Tasmat has come into existence, has originated, have come into existence. What? First, Richaha. Richaha is a plural form of Rik. Rik means, Rik is, any Rigveda mantra is called also Rik. But here, Rik, Richaha means all the Rigveda mantras. Rik is one mantra of Rigveda. Richaha, all the mantras of Rigveda. So the word Richaha stands for Rigvedaha. Richaha is equal to all the mantras of Rigveda. Rik, Richau, Richaha. Richaha, plural. Then, Samavedaha. Saman. Samavedaha. Then, Yajugumshi. Instead of saying Samani, this is Sama. Yajugumshi is a Vedic usage. Yajumshi. Yajumshi. The gum is a Vedic usage. Yajumshi means Yajush, means Yajurveda mantra. Yajumshi means Yajurveda mantras. The plural form of Yajush. Yajush, Yajushi, Yajush, Yajumshi. Yajumshi, all mantras of Yajurveda. Therefore, Yajumshi is equal to Yajurvedaha. Yajurvedaha implies both Krishna Yajurvedaha and Shukla Yajurvedaha also. So all three Vedas are mentioned. Even last class was asked why Atharvedas are mentioned. We'll discuss it. Then, Dikshaha. Dikshaha. Diksha is a religious discipline. Dikshaha, initiating a person into the study or discipline, religious discipline, to be practiced as a means of purification, attainment of jnanam, is a diksha, dikshaha. Many disciplines are there. Yajnaha. Yajnaha, the rituals, the Vedic form of worship in terms of performance of fire rituals. Yajnaha, there are many fire rituals which come under the care of Vedic form of worship. Yajnaha, survey all yajnas. Kratavaha, kratuhu, kratu, kratavaha. Kratavaha is a plural form of kratuhu. Yajna, yajnaha, kratuhu, ukaranta shabda, plural kratavaha. Kratavaha also mean the performance of fire ritual only. But what is the difference between kratuhu and yajna? I'll tell you. Kratavaha also means Vedic, the fire rituals. Yajnaha also means fire rituals. Means performance of fire rituals. Vedic form of worship. Then Dakshinaha. Dakshinaha. The Dakshina is a gift given to the priest who performs the ritual on behalf of the Yajamana. Dakshinaha, or you can say all expenses, the gifts. You, in fact, not only to the priest, there are gifts to be given, many people also. So, Dakshinaha, cha, and Samvatsaras cha. Samvatsaraha literally means year. But here, Samvatsara means year. But here, the time factor also very important. The word samvatsraha literally meaning year stands for kalaha, time factor. Why? The time is very much important in performing a ritual. When the ritual should be performed, which period of the year should be performed, and also which situation should be performed, etc. is very important. Therefore, time, kalaha. Then yajamanaha. Yajamanaha is the one who pays the kshina, for whose sake the sankalpa is done. For the benefit of, for whose benefit the puja or ritual is done, is called yajamanaha. Yajamanaha literally means worshipper. The person for whose benefit the ritual is performed is called yajamanaha. Then lokaha. So the word lokaha literally means world. In fact, I'll explain again. Just now know the literal meanings. Worlds, lokaha worlds. The worlds accomplishable as a result of punyam gained through the performance of rituals. So all about the Veda, Karmakanda, the rituals, the Vedas, the benefits, the time here. In this mantra, they are mentioned here, worlds. And what are those two worlds mainly? One is Somaha Yatra Pavate Yatra Suryaha. The two worlds, higher worlds, over the many, we know seven worlds, you learned about seven worlds. But your Shastra mainly talks about two worlds. One is Soma Lokaha, Chandra Lokaha, otherwise Surya Lokaha or Swarga Lokaha. The Chandra Lokaha is purified by moon. Swarga Loka is purified by sun. So here, Somaha Yatra Pavate means, Somaha is another word for moon, Chandraha. Pavate means purifies. Apnepadam, you know, simple present tense verb, Pavate purifies. There is a Chandra Loka where moon purifies. There is a Swarga Loka or Surya Loka where sun purifies. Suryaha Pavate. Yatra Suryaha Pavate. Even these two lokas. And these two lokas, again we can say, the one loka going which one has to return, one loka going which one need not return. These two lokas. And to go to these two lokas, you learned elaborate in Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter, one has to travel through Krishna Gatihi or Shukla Gatihi, etc. So even you can include those gatis of the ghosts, gatis and the worlds, and also, to go to Swarga Loka, mere performance of ritual is not enough. One has to practice also meditation along with the performance of ritual to go to Swarga Loka. And mere performance of rituals without practice of upasanam, one can go to Soma Loka. So all these worlds, all the disciplines, all of them have come into existence from Brahma. Please remember the context where we are discussing this topic. We are not, it's only all these have come into existence from Brahma. Means, now you understand, even Brahma Loka, even Swarga Loka, even Chandra Loka, even the Lokas purified by sun and moon, even the two Gatis, all of them are Mithya only. Why? They all have no independent existence. They all have come into existence from Brahma. It's another nice way of making us understand. That's why the whole chapter is a sort of meditation. Now we are seeing, understanding the fact is, being with the fact, dwelling upon the fact is meditation. So it's not niridhyasam, it's saguna upasanam. Because you are seeing the fact, everything has come into existence from Brahma. I mean, there is no Swarga Loka outside of Brahma. There is no Chandra Loka outside of Brahma. There's no Shukla Gatihi, Krishna Gatihi outside of Brahma. There's no, you know, Yajna or benefit of performing a rich Yajna is outside of Brahma. There's no, not even, even Upasana Phalam. There's no such a thing called meditation Upasanam outside of Brahma. Upasana Phalam outside of Brahma. Nothing is outside of Brahma. That is the meaning. Very briefly, you have got the meaning of all the words. Have you? Okay. Let me tell you here. Tasmat, Richaha, Salma, Ijogumshi, Dikshaha, Ignyaha, Cha, Sarve, Kratavo, Kratavaha, Dakshinaha, Cha, Samvatsaraha, Cha, Yajamanaha, Cha, Lokaha, Somaha, Yatra Pavate, Yatra Suryaha. Literal meaning is over. So what does it mean here? So from that Brahman alone, the Rigvedaha originated. So, the Rigvedaha as origin means with all the mantras. All the mantras with their own different meters. Their own different meters. Like you, when you read Bhagavad Gita, you understand it's a Anushtup, Trishtup. Now, different meters are there. Even I told you, Gayatri is name of a meter only. Like that, all the mantras, the different meters, okay, consisting of certain number of lines and certain number of letters, all of them have come into existence from Brahma. And next is Samavedaha. Samaveda also has come into existence, means what is special about Samaveda? See, the Rigveda mantra set to musical tunes constitute Samaveda. Means the Samaveda mantras are all set to tunes, set to music. Which means they're set to music, tunes means the mantras, some mantras consist of, some mantras are set to tunes consisting of five melody components. And some mantras are set to tunes consisting of seven melody components. Five melody components, seven melody components. Don't ask me what is five melody, seven melody and all that. We are not learning music here, but just I'm just giving you extra information, not my own. It's all from Adi Shankar Bhagavatpada's commentary. Okay. And Shankar Bhagavatpada says, Pancha Bhaktikam Bhaktikam Sapta Bhaktikam Pancha Bhaktikam Sapta Bhaktikam Stobadi Gita Visishtam, Shankaracharya says. So I'm giving you. So Samavedaha consists of mantras set to musical tunes. And some mantras are set to the tunes consisting of five melody components. Some mantras are set to tunes consisting of seven melody components. And some mantras also consist of some peculiar expressions which do not convey any meaning. And then they are mentioned that they are there as part of the Samantras only for the purpose of a specific way of reciting or singing them. Okay, Samantras consist of some expressions which do not have any specific meaning. But what do? They are there only for the purpose of a specific way of singing. For example, in Taittiriya Upanishad, we get Ahamannam, 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 Ahamannado, Ahamannado, Ahamannadaha. Sometimes, ha, bu, ha, bu, ha, bu. What does havu mean? Nothing. There's no specific meaning. But for the purpose of specific way of singing, some expressions are there in Samaveda mantras. And those expressions which do not have any meaning, but still are only used for the purpose of singing, a certain way of singing, are called stobaha. Okay, stobaha. Stobaha means a specific way of singing. Next questions. Stobaha. And so there's many are there. Shankaracharya mentioned stoba, etc. This is about the Samaveda you need to know. Okay, now Yajurgumshi. Yajurveda. Yajurveda mantras actually are in prose. Prose mantras. Yajurveda mantras are in prose form. Prose form means what? So in Yajurveda mantras are in poetry form. Rigveda mantras are in the form of poetry, therefore they consist of meter, many meters are there. Meters are followed. Metrical forms. Whereas here, Yajurveda mantras are in prose form, therefore there is no metrical order. There's no meter involved. A specific instruction of the lines, words, etc. If the mantras and poetry form is, meter has to be followed. When the meter is followed, there must be specific number of lines, etc. But here, the mantras are in prose form, therefore there is no specific number of lines, order, etc. Okay. Now you know, Rigveda mantras are in poetry form. Therefore, in different meters also are followed. Whereas Samaveda mantras are mantras set to tunes. Whereas Yajurveda mantras are in prose form. Then, we have Dikshaha. What is Diksha? Many discipline. Diksha is one discipline. Dikshaha, religious disciplines. And these disciplines are prescribed for purity, for the purpose of purification. Disciplines prescribed for the purification. And who should, these diksha should be, see the Ritvik means the person who performs the ritual, the priest, and also the person for whose sake ritual is performed. He is called Yajamanaha. So Yajamanasya Shudhyartham. For the purpose, for the purification of the Yajamanaha, the performer of the ritual, for whose benefit the ritual is performed, for his purification, as well as for the purification of the person, the priest who performs the ritual, certain disciplines are prescribed in the Shastra. Diksha. Many disciplines are there. And one such a discipline, and Shankaracharya mentions, Maunji. Maunji means there is a particular grass called Maunja Trinam, Maunja grass. The Maunji means a finger ring. They make a ring, finger ring out of this Maunji grass. Maunja grass. It's called Maunji. Like they had to wear. And when the ritual is finished, they remove it also carefully. Like that, one such thing I mentioned. Shankaracharya mentions, so I am mentioning that. Like that, there are certain disciplines to be followed. Also, diksha is also known as initiating a person into a certain discipline of doing the japa, etc. Diksha. Then yajnaha. Yajnaha means, you know, that I told you this, smallest of the yajnaha is yajnas, is the agnihotra karma. Biggest is Ashwamedha Yaga. In between we have so many rituals. So all these fire rituals are made, they all have come into existence from Brahma. There's also Kratavaha. What difference between Kratavaha and Yajnaha? Kratuhu is also a Yajna, a fire ritual, but it involves a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice also, and for which they have to have a post, a specific post to tie the animal there. And that's called, so Kratuhu means a ritual wherein a sacrifice is involved is called a Kratuhu. A ritual without involving a sacrifice is called Yajna. Both are Yajnas, worship, forms of worship. And this, that the post kept there to tie the animal is called a sacrificial post. A sacrificial post called Yupaha. So I'm giving this information based on Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary only. Yupaha. So all this, that's the difference between Kratuhu and Yajna. I want to understand the difference between Yajna is also a Vedic fire ritual. Kratuhu also is a Vedic fire ritual. The difference is that if the ritual is also involving a sacrificial post which is kept to tie the animal, any given animal, is called Kratuhu. Without that, Shankaracharya says Sayupaha Ayupaha. The ritual with a sacrificial post is called Sayupaha. With Kratuhu, Kratavaha. Ayupaha, rituals without the sacrificial post. Ayupaha. Yupaha means a specific nothing, just a stick they put there. They do some puja, tie something. And that is kept there to tie the animal. Therefore it's called Sayupaha or Kratavaha, Ayupaha Yajnaha. All these rituals. Then we also say Dakshinaha. Dakshinaha means what? You can give Dakshina after the performance of a ritual. As part of the performance of ritual, Dakshina should be given to the priest. And Dakshina can be, this specific Dakshina mentioned in the Shastram itself. What should be given as Dakshina? Sometimes Dakshinas are given out of the, in keeping with the magnanimity of the performer also. It can be a piece of land, godanam, bhudanam, like dhanadanam, vastradanam, so many danams are there. So anything also can be the dakshina, gift, given as gift to the priest. Then we say, samvatsaraha, I said, even time, samvatsaraha, as I said, mentioned earlier, literally means the year, also means what, karmangaha. The part of the ritual. Time factor is very much involved. So time is also there. Then, so all of them have come into existence from Brahma. What about then Lokaha? The Lokaha, the higher worlds, which are accomplishable through punyam earned as a result of performing these rituals. So there is a Yajna or Kratuhu. And apart from that, there is a ritual combined with the practice of Saguna Upasanam. The ritual practiced with the ritual performed along with the practice of Saguna Upasanam is called Yajna Upasana Samuchaya. So the person who practices upasanam along with the performance of ritual is called vidvatkarta. The person who performs only ritual is called avidvatkarta. Vidvatkarta means the performer of a ritual along with the practice of meditation. Avidvat Karta is the person who practices, performs only rituals without meditation. So all these people, when they go to higher lokas, Chandra Lokaha, where moon purifies, and Surya Lokaha, where sun purifies. All these lokas. So what Shankaracharya says finally, all of them have come into existence from Brahma. So please don't lose track of where we are now. We are seeing the first section of second Mundakam, where Srishti Prakriya is discussed, presented. Srishti Prakriya presented means the Srishti is discussed. Creation is discussed. And what is the purpose? We say everything has come into existence from Brahma. This topic, I'm repeating it without feeling tired of, without feeling bored with this, because this is what is the fact you have to remember at present. That's why this class itself is upasana. Don't you see the fact? Where are you now? Are you not with the fact what Upanishad say teaches? Are you not with the fact that everything has come into existence from Bhagavan? Everything is Bhagavan. We're repeatedly seeing, you're helped see the fact of Bhagavan being the whole. Next. Tasmacha deva bahudha samprasutah. Tasmacha deva bahudha samprasutah. Sadhya manushya pashavo vayagumsi. Sadhya manushya pashavo vayagumsi. Pranapano brihiyavo tapascha. Shraddha satyam brahmacharyam vidhischa. Tasmacha deva bahudha samprasutah. Tasmacha deva bahudha samprasutah. Sadhya manushya pashavo vayagumsi. Pranapano vrihiyavo tapascha. Shraddha satyam brahmacharyam vidhischa. So tasmat cha and from that Brahman, not only the Vedas, the rituals, kartavaha, yajnaha, dikshaha, dakshinaha, lokaha, everything has come into existence from Brahman. Means Brahman, the absolute reality implied that Brahman is distinct from all of them, but nothing is distant from Brahma. Brahman is not distant from any of them. Nothing is separable from Brahma. Nothing is separable from Brahma. Next, tasmacha devaha. Devaha bahudha samprasutaha. Sadhya devaha, visarga is dropped in the mantra. For meaning, when you take it, you must take it as devaha. Sadhyaha, manushyaha, pashavaha, vayagamsi, taken as vayamsi. Pranapano, vrihiyavo, tapaha, cha, shaddha, satyam, brahmacharyam, vidhihi, cha. So from that Brahman, what now? Bahudha. 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 Devaha samprasutaha. See, samprasutaha, were delivered. Literally it means were delivered. Delivered from Brahma. Means what? They originated from Brahma. Samprasutaha. Sam is a prefix, pra is a prefix, su is a dhatu. Samprasutaha literally means were delivered. We take it as they originated. They came into existence. Who? Bahudha devaha. Bahudha devaha in various forms. Devas here, we say deities, devataha. So devaha, you can say devas are exalted beings. And we cannot understand because we have not seen them. But Shastram discusses, talks about them. But devaha, exalted beings, in various forms, Bahudha Devaha, they all originated, came into existence from Brahma. Sadhyaha. Sadhyaha also means actually Devas only, but another type of Devas, we can say celestial beings, heavenly beings. And they are also another form of exalted Jivas. Then Manushyaha. See, when Manushyaha are more exalted than other living creatures, like that Sadhyaha are more exalted, exalted than human beings also. Manushyaha, they're also exalted beings. You can't say they're more exalted than human beings because they cannot earn punyam papam. So Manushya, they can't attain moksha. In fact, Manushya is exalted being because only human being is capable of attaining moksha. Even poor devas, they can be exalted, but they can't attain moksha. So sadhyaha, exalted beings. Manushyaha, we all come under this category. Okay. Manushyaha, human beings. Then, Pashavaha. See, Pashavaha. Pashavaha, plural form of the word Pashuhu. Pashuhu, it literally means a cow alone. A cow alone specifically is also known by the term Pashuhu. Pashavaha means cows. But Pashavaha here means animals. Any animal also in general known as Pashavaha. Pashavaha. And what animals? Of course, you know very well, there are domestic animals like cow, etc. We have wild animals like lion, tiger, etc. All animals. Pashavaha stands for all varieties of animals. All human beings, all exalted jivas, sadhyaha. Devaha, then Vayamsi. See, Vayagamsi is a Vedic usage for meaning Shakti is Vayamsi. Vayas Sakarantaha Shabdaha, Vayas Shabdaha. Vayamsi means Khagaha, Pakshinaha. Vayamsi is another word for birds. Vayamsi. All birds. Then prana apanau, pranaha cha apanaha cha, prana apanau. Pranaha, the breath, the function of breathing involving inhalation, exhalation is prana apanau. This also has come into existence from Brahma. Why? This is the prana is the life of all living creatures. The prana which lends life for all living beings, and that prana, pranapano, the breath, the function of breathing also has come into existence from Brahma. Then vrihi yavau. See, vrihihi means paddy. Stands for all grains. Yavaha is another barley. You all must have heard of this, no? This yavaha means barley. Vrihihi means paddy. Vrihi yavo, vrihihi, yavaha cha, vrihi yavo. Paddy and this barley means all grains. Once the human beings have come, all birds have come, which means they need food. So food also has come into existence from Brahma. paddy and barley only symbolic, okay? The upalakshana for all the food in general. Tapaha cha. So tapaha, again, penance, tapas, sakaranta shabda, denominated becomes tapaha. Sakarantaha, apasakalinga, tapas shabdaha. Tapas, in nominative, it becomes tapaha. But remember, it is not akaranta shabda, it's a sakaranta. Shabda, tapas, tapaha. Tapaha means penance, austerity, religious discipline. We see that again. Then shabda. Shraddha is unflinching faith in the words of the Veda Shastra. See, first of all, there is no faith at all in the Veda Shastra. Then you do not accept the Veda Shastra. Where is the question of following the way of life? Where is the question of performing rituals? Where is the question of understanding, having interest in gaining any results of the rituals? Therefore, faith is very important, first of all. Otherwise, nothing is possible. Therefore, Shraddha, unflinching faith in the Vedic teaching. Shraddha. Then Satyam. Satyam. Satyam does not mean here the truth as reality. Satyam here is the truthfulness in speech. The discipline of truthfulness in speech. We'll see that also Shankaracharya gives a beautiful meaning. I'll tell you again. Brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam is a discipline of celibacy. Vidhihi. Vidhihi literally means the law, order, but here you can take it as duties. So what it says in the, generally, it is from, only from that absolute reality, Brahma. All these various devatas, sadhyas, the exalted jivas, human beings, all animals, all types of birds, even the breath which gives life in terms of prana and apana, all grains such as paddy, barley, etc., all the disciplines, one by what austerity as tapas, then faith, unflinching faith in the Veda Shastram, even the discipline of truthfulness, the discipline of being a celibate and duty, all these have come into existence from Brahma. I'm reminding you, don't forget. Now, actually, we are analyzing the Srishti Prakriya. Srishti he discussed in Mundakopanishad. So, in the previous mantra, we saw the Vedas have come into existence from Brahma. All the mantras have come into existence from Brahma. It means all the yajnas, all types of rituals also have come into existence from Brahma. Means performance of ritual implies offering of oblations. Then oblations are offered into the fire means who are the beings to whom the oblations are offered, for whose purpose, for whose sake the oblations are offered, to whom are they offered? Devas. Therefore, in this mantra, Upanishad says, the devas who receive the ritual oblations, who receive the offerings, they all have come into existence from Brahma. And then, to be a devaha, he had an easy joke. One must have done abundance of punyam even to have the status of being a deva. So it is temporary status, temporary qualification, temporary position. Like how somebody can be in a high position in office as a supervisor, as a manager, as a managing director. It's only a position. How long? How long? How long can a person be managing director of a company or a chairman of a company or a position? there is a certain period of time, isn't it? You know, a person is throughout his life, he was a managing director. Still, how long? As long as he's alive, it's not permanent, isn't it? One cannot be there always. Therefore, like this, this devas also is a particular position only. Therefore, they have attained that position by their punyam. Therefore, it is said, samprasutaha, samyaka prakarshena sutaha. All these exalted devas have come into existence from Brahma because of their unique punyam they have earned through their good karma. I simply could have said prasutaha. Why samprasutaha? It means it is, they have really gained that position. They come into existence from Brahman as devas because of their punyam. And then these devas also, see, we, for us it is difficult to understand. Difficult means we have no idea of what these devas are, who these devas are. We only say deities. Devaha, see, the word devaha is translated as god in English language. That's why they say, oh, Hinduism has many gods. No, Sanatana Dharma is not a polytheist, nor is it monotheist. Okay? There's no neither monotheism nor polytheism followed. We don't say gods are many, we don't say gods are, god is one also. But these devas are actually one of the manifestations, one of the creations, one of the aspects of the creation is devaha. Exalted beings and inexplicable. Because it's not, we can't understand them. Veda Shastram talks about those beings. Amazing. We only know human beings. We don't know because we are human beings ourselves. But do not know they're devas. And devas, devaha is a position which a person can earn as a result of punyam. One earns through lot of good karma one does in one's life. And one attains that position and remains there as deva for some time. When a person, when an individual is there as a deva, he cannot earn new punyam or papam. He only exhaust the punyam. And once the punyam is exhausted, he loses that position also. Again, he can be born as a human being or any other being. Anyway, what I want to say, man is a human being. So here, devaha, there are 33 devas. Which means that we have devas like Indraha, Varunaha, we have devas, they're individuals. We are also devas in groups. There are three groups of devas. And one group of devas, the devas of one group are known as Vasavaha. Vasuhu, Vasu, Vasavaha. Don't ask me whether I have seen them. Okay? Vasuhu, Vasu, Vasavaha. Veda Shastram talks about 33 devas, not 33 crores, okay? 33, only 33. Trayastrimshat devaha. Vasavaha, Vasuhu Vasu Vasavaha. Devas of one group are known as Vasavaha. There are 8 in number. Then there is another group of devas. And the second, the devas of another group are known as Rudraha. Rudraha. And they are 11 in number. Ashta Vasavaha. Yekadasha Rudraha. See, they're all very protective devas. And then there are, the word Adityaha literally means sun, Surya Bhagavan. But there's a group of devas. The devas of the other group are known as Adityaha. So Vasavaha, Rudraha, Adityaha. Vasavaha, Rudraha, Adityaha. And Adityas are 12 in number. ద్వాదశ ఆదిత్యాః ఏకాదశ రుద్రాః అష్టవసవః. ఆల్ దీస్ కౌంట్ నౌ 33. దిస్ 33 ఆల్సో వి హావ్ అదర్ దేవస్, ఇంద్రః అండ్ ప్రజాపతిః. Okay, the individual devas. Like Indra has a position again. Very good. That's what Devendra we say, no? Indraha, Indra Padavi. And a Prajapati. Like this. Different names are given. So these devas are also exalted beings. Jivas only. They enjoy that position for length of time. Again, they have to be born when the punyam is exhausted. The unfortunate thing on their part is that they cannot earn new punyam. Whereas we can earn new punyam also. Okay, then devaha. So they all have come into existence from Brahma. Next is sadhyaha. Sadhyaha are also another type of devas only. And these devas, sadhyas are actually said to be Pitru Devataha, known as Mains. As I said, even though Devaha and Sadhyaha, another type of Devas, were known as Pitru Devataha, even they cannot perform any karma, nor can they earn any new punyam. All these Devas, celestials, can only exhaust their punyam. And they become nil account one day and they have to come back. Then, manushyaha, human beings. Who are the human beings? Human beings who alone are qualified to perform rituals. Vedic rituals, who can perform? Who can enjoy the benefit of rituals? Only human beings. Sadhyas cannot perform karma. Devas cannot perform karma. They are enjoyers of the offerings, oblations offered by human beings. They cannot enjoy punyam. They can exhaust punyam. Whereas human beings can perform rituals, earn punyam. That's why manushu or manushya, Shankaracharya says, karma adhikritaha. Those who are eligible, qualified to perform rituals. Only human beings can perform rituals, worship, earn punyam. So, apart from human beings, all other animals, etc., they exhaust their papam. They don't attract new punya papam. Devas also exhaust their punyam, they don't attract new punya papam. Human beings alone can perform rituals, can perform karma, can earn new punyam or new papam also. If you earn punyam, you can go above, can earn papam, go below also. Anyway, that's why manushyaha. Then pashavaha. As I said already, pashavaha, mrigaha, animals, all domestic and wild animals. Pashavaha. Then Shankaracharya says, Pashavaha. Simply, how do you say all these things? Animals is Gramyaha. Gramyaha Pashavaha means domestic animals. Aranyaha means wild animals. Then Vayamsi, all types of birds. Then Pranapano, Manushyadinam Jivanam. The breath which really gives life for all the living creatures. Then vrihyavo havirartho. So you need grains, paddy or barley, etc. For what purpose? To offer as oblations. See, devas need food, sadhyas need food, animals need food, human beings need food. For food, all the food. Then tapascha, tapaha. Next word is tapaha. See tapaha. Tapaha is again the word tapas, literally means a single word. You can say penance or austerity, which is also austerity should be practiced as a part of the performance of a ritual. Austerity has to be followed as a part of the performance of a ritual. And it is for the purification of the performer, also the yajamana or the priest generally. The austerity is followed for the purification of others, also for others, our own selves. Then Shraddha. So Shraddha, as I said, Shraddha in the Veda Shastram, without which no end can be accomplished. Arthakamas cannot be accomplished by following rituals. Even Jnanam can be accomplished as a result of by studying Vedanta Shastram. So no Purushartha can be accomplished without having Shraddha in the Veda Shastra. Then Satyam is beautiful. Shankaracharya says, this idea I wanted to read it. Anrita Varjanam Satyam. Anrita means untruth. So speech devoid of untruth is Satyam. So speaking the truth, I mean avoidance of untruth, then yatha bhutartha vachanam, avoidance of untruth and speaking the truth, and also stur satyam also means non-hurtful speech. The word satyam, Shankaracharya says, satyam anrita varjanam yathabhuta vyathabhutartha vachanam cha apidakaram. Very good. Apidakaram. Pidakaram means what? Hurtful words. Apidakaram, which does not hurt. Apidakaram. Pida means which causes pain. Speech which causes pain is, which hurts, harms, is pidakaram. Apidakaram, non-hurtful. So satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, nabruyat satyam, apriyam. Apriyam. So speaking the truth, avoiding the untruth, and the truth also which does not hurt. Just because we should speak the truth, we should not speak the truth which hurts also. Speaking non-hurtful truth. Speaking the non-hurtful truth which is devoid of untruth is Satyam. Even this discipline of value of truthfulness has come into existence from Brahma, means Navshakrat Bhagavan says all universal values have come into existence from Brahma. Then Brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam, I told you already, the discipline of being a celibate or discipline of celibacy is Brahmacharyam. What is celibacy? Simply not getting married is not a Brahma, does not make a person Brahmachari. So here, avoidance of any illegal, in fact, not illegal, completely abstaining from sexual relationship. That's why there's a period of time mentioned in life. As a student of Shastra, student, one has to, as long as one calls oneself as a student, one must definitely abstain from sexual relationship. This is Grihastha Ashrama is prescribed later on. That is Brahmacharyam. Then Vidhihi. Vidhihi means being dutiful, even the duty, kartavyata. iti kartavyata Shri Shankaracharya. The word vidhi literally means somewhere different, the order, rule, destiny, etc. But here vidhi means duty. All these have come into existence from Brahma. By way of discussing the srishtihi, Upas also teaches other things. They all have come into existence from Brahma. Okay, now let's see next mantra now.
Swamini, in prasutaha, what is sutaha?
Actually, su is a prefix. Sorry, su is the root.
Yeah. No, su. No, the second su. Samyak prakarshena sutaha, you said.
Yeah, su is the what root.
In sutaha.
Yeah. Su is the root from where you get the word noun savaha, prasavaha, etc. Su is the root. Suyate.
Okay, Swami.
Su is the dot.
Okay, Swami. Thank you.
Swamini ji, can I ask what you said about yajurmanaha? I missed that.
No, yajamanaha. See, the word yajamanaha is basically shanach antam padam. Yaj dhatu. Yaj is the root. From there you get the verb yajate, yajati. So ubhyapada, ubhyapadi dhatu. Yaj is a ubhyapadi dhatu. Can say yajati or yajate. Yajati means worships. And yajamanaha, the worshipper. But here in performing a ritual, the word yajamanaha means the worshipper of devatas. Yajan is satruantam, isn't it? You can say yajan purushaha, worshipping person. Like yajamanaha is another form. Worshipper. The person who is worshipping is called yajamanaha. Yajamanaha purushaha. And here who is yajamanaha? Sometimes the worshipper himself can perform the ritual. And for his own benefit. Sometimes he can give dakshina to other priest. And he can get the ritual done. So the priest who performs the ritual, who gets the dakshina from the yajamana, does not get the benefit of the ritual. But the benefit of the ritual is supposed to be enjoyed by the yajamana. Yajamana is the one who enjoys the benefit of the performance of ritual. Yajamanaha literally means worshipper, the performer of a ritual. The performer of a ritual who spends money for that, who sits with Shraddha and who expects the results, who wants the grace of devatas is Yajamana. Is it clear? Yajamanaha. Now, until now, we have seen the Srishti is continuing here again. The discussion on creation is still continuing. But now at least you remember why Upanishad is talking about all these things, some, you know, like something from here, something from there. The idea is just to have an idea that everything has come into existence from Brahma. The only one lesson. Everything has come into existence from Brahma means, does not mean is born out of something. Then the very word creation itself is simply used to say that everything has come into existence, which means nothing in this universe is created. Nothing is destroyed. Everything comes into existence and again resolves means this becoming manifest and becoming unmanifest of everything here, which constitute the whole Jagat universe, doesn't happen outside of Brahma. Is it clear? You can say elements and the elementals. This is what we understand. For us, the universe is elemental. Element, pancha bhautikaha prapanchaha. The whole universe include also time factor. Include the time factor. Time is the subtlest of the factors, which you cannot deny. We do talk about time factor. It's a time factor. And there is all accommodative space. Time and space are the big topics in physics also. Time and space are still discussed. It took very long in the physics to establish that time is relative. But our Shastram always says time is relative. There is no such a thing called absolute time. Nothing is absolute for us apart from Brahma. Everything is relative. So time, then space. And within the realm of time and space, everything else, all forms, names and functions. All elemental forms, names and functions. Shankaracharya says in Chandogya Upanishad very beautifully, one word he says, Nama Rupa Karmakhyam Jagat. This whole universe can be reduced to just forms, names and functions. And this exists, everything exists within the realm of time and space, and including time and space, the whole cosmos does not have independent existence of its own at all. The universe does not originate. It's always there. Time is always there. Of course, forms keep on undergoing changes. No form can remain permanently the same because that's the nature of the matter. The whole objective universe can be reduced to one word, matter. You can reduce everything, the living and non-living, and all the emotions, and all the actions, all the results, all the experiences, everything can be reduced to one word, matter, within the realm of everything is in the realm of ignorance. When I say everything, the entire objective universe is within the realm of ignorance means, I mean the entire objective universe is within the realm of the matter. Why? Matter is of the nature of inertness. Being inert means not knowing its own existence is being inert. Nothing in the universe has knowledge of its own existence. Therefore, everything is of the nature of inertness. If that which is of the nature of inertness is matter. So, whether the gross universe you experience, subtle universe you experience, the unmanifest which is known also, experienced also, the whole cosmos, the entire objective universe, including time and space, is of the nature of inertness. Because there's no knowledge of existence of its own. So the universe, therefore the universe doesn't have the status of being existent by itself. For the universe to enjoy the status of being existent, it must become the known. And for it to become the known, it is dependent on the knower. There must be knower. If you search for the knower, there is no knower other than the truth, Brahma. Therefore, the universe does not have independent existence of its own. That's why we say consciousness is definitely distinct from matter. Consciousness is not distant from matter. Whereas the material universe is inseparable from consciousness. Doesn't have independent existence of its own at all. Therefore, it is not at all countable as a parallel reality. Therefore, we have to say the whole universe is consciousness, matter. Brahma, the matter is consciousness. But consciousness is not matter. But matter is nothing but consciousness. Why? Matter is not countable independently. Anyway, that we'll see it again later, no problem. But the idea is everything has come into existence from Brahma. By way of discussing the creation, Upanishad also wants us to understand certain words, technical terms, and also the values, etc. So until now, we have seen what all has come into existence from Brahma. Now hereafter, Upanishad is going to beautifully present even the perception. The next mantra is a beautiful mantra. I think I'll do next class. Our perception. The perception. The something called perception. Isn't it happening, taking place? Without which experience is not possible. Knowledge is not possible. And the perception is also, the function of perception has come into existence from Brahma. And this perception is presented here as the performance of a ritual. So for example, your seeing power is there. But the perception to take place, what are important? 5 sense powers, isn't it? 5 sense powers are important. Then 5 sense objects are there. Form, light, color are perceived through your seeing power. Sound is heard, known through your hearing power. Object called smell is known through your power of smelling. Object called taste is known through your tongue. And heat and cold are known through the power of touch. So there are only this entire objective universe can be reduced only to 5-fold objects. Doesn't matter how vast this universe is, how big this universe is, there is no 6th type of object. The entire universe, the inexplicably vast universe, consists only of 5-fold objects, perceptible through 5 different sense organs. And this perception itself has come into existence from Brahma, is possible because of Brahma. And perception is presented, itself is presented as a ritual. This Upanishad gradually is going to develop some teaching. Your every sense power is like a fire. The power is called Indriyam. The physical part where the locus of the power is called Golakam. You know that your eye ball with the eyelids, the physical part which is perceptible is Golakam. And the seeing power, subtle seeing power obtaining, located in the Golakam, is called Indriyam. Indriyam is subtle, imperceptible, whereas Golakam is perceptible. You all can see my eyeball and my eyelids. I can see all your eyeballs and eyelids, but I cannot see your seeing power. Isn't it? Nor can you see my seeing power. So seeing power is imperceptible, whereas the Golakam, Indriyam. You have to differentiate. There's a Golakam and Indriyam. Similarly, the ear lobe, ear drum is Golakam. The power of hearing is Indriyam. Tongue is a Golakam. The power of taste is Indriyam. Skin is Golakam. Power of touch is Indriyam. Nose is nostrils. Nose is a Golakam. The power of smelling is Indriyam. We have to differentiate 5 subtle sense powers, Pancha Jnana Indriyani, which are distinct from Pancha Golakani, 5 physical parts, the 5 locations of 5 powers. The sense of touch is all over the body, the skin. And all these five sense powers are linked, connected to the verge, merge in mind. Mind is antahkaranam, internal instrument of knowledge. And the mind is the golakam, physical, mind is the indriyam, physical heart is the golakam. Mind is the indriyam, physical heart is the golakam. And so all the senses of seeing power, hearing power, power of smelling, power of taste, power of touch, all these powers are associated with one internal instrument of knowledge called indriyam, called manaha. Mind is the indriyam, heart, physical heart is the golakam. That's why if they do the dissection of the body, they can find the heart, they can't find the mind. It's indriyam. Now, see this golakam, Upanishad is going to present beautifully. Golakam is like a agnikunda. Agnikunda means a place where fire is kindled. Every sense organ is like an agnikundam. Sense power is like the flame, fire in the agnikunda. And the sense object is like the oblation offered into the fire. But it's going to, like this present is, at least remember, indriyani golakani. Okay? And then we will see this mantra next class. I need more time for this. Just, this is not, you're not learning much in this, but just being with the Upanishad, just understanding the word meanings, understanding how the Upanishad presents the teaching. Whatever I say, nothing is mine. I'm just telling you what is in Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary. What I heard from Pujya Swamiji, otherwise. Just repeatedly, we're only seeing, is anything which is not Brahma here? Everything is Brahma. So we'll continue the next class and the next mantra. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.